We would like to say a special thank you to this week's sponsor, MSD Ireland, Inventing for Life.
Hello and welcome to the Answers for Cancers podcast. I am your host, Anne-Marie Fay.
And I'm Michelle Matthews.
Together with some of Ireland's leading experts, we want to unravel what it truly means to have cancer.
From consultant diagnosis to treatment plans, from managing your symptoms to supports available, we have it covered. So whether you're a nurse working in oncology or have been personally affected by cancer, this podcast is for you.
Today on the podcast, we are joined by Dr. Daniel Cagney to discuss radiotherapy for breast cancer. Dr. Cagney is a clinical director of radiation oncology at the Mater Private Hospital and a network director of stereotactic radiation. Dr. Cagney was a clinical researcher at Harvard Medical School and has published more than 70 peer-reviewed manuscripts and book chapters in leading academic journals. We are also very lucky to have worked with Dr. Cagney in the last couple of years, and we are delighted that he's come to join us on the podcast today. In this episode, we discuss what to expect when receiving radiotherapy, the most common side effects and how to manage these side effects, and also how radiotherapy can differ depending on the type of surgery you have.
Thank you very much for coming on the podcast today, Dan. We're absolutely delighted to have you to cover radiotherapy specifically for breast cancer patients. So if you don't mind, can you explain to us what is radiotherapy and how does it work specifically in relation to breast cancer?
Yeah, so thank you for having me on the podcast. And it's great to have an opportunity to talk about radiation and its utility in treating women with breast cancer. So I suppose, firstly, what is radiation? So radiation is the use of x-rays to treat cancer, I suppose, in the most simplistic way. And, you know, there are a variety of ways in which radiation is used in the treatment of women with breast cancer. The majority of that is after surgery. And I suppose the goal of radiation is to kind of sterilize or ensure that none of the kind of microscopic areas that might not be visible or detected at the time of surgery are treated. And I suppose ultimately to ensure that women don't have the cancer come back within the breast or within the region where the breast was. It's also been shown to improve overall outcomes long-term. I suppose the big advantage for radiation after surgery is, I suppose historically, the surgery for breast cancer was quite morbid. It would have included removing muscle, removing a lot of the chest wall. I think the big benefit of adding radiation is that it's made the outcomes for women, both from, you know, a functional perspective and a cosmetic perspective and an overall cancer perspective, significantly better. So ultimately, I suppose that's the primary use of radiation. You know, God forbid if a woman were ever to develop metastatic disease or disease that's spread to other parts of the body, radiation has a variety of uses in terms of treating brain tumors, spinal tumors, areas that are symptomatic. So I suppose ultimately radiation is part of the multidisciplinary treatment of breast cancer.
And then generally speaking, what are the most common side effects that you would see with radiation?
Yeah, so, you know, radiation in general causes side effects in the areas that we're treating. The majority of the side effects of radiation happen in the period of radiation being delivered. So, for example, if a woman was having breast radiation after having part of her breast removed and getting adjuvant radiation, which means radiation after surgery, the most common side effects would be changes in the skin, irritation of the skin. Best way to describe it is like a sunburn. You know, it's incredibly rare now with kind of newer techniques and better, more precise radiation that women would have anything more severe than that. But I would say the majority of the side effects tend to be in the breast, if you're treating the breast. And, you know, I suppose other side effects that are incredibly rare but can happen are, you know, cough, a little bit of discomfort or pain. But the majority of the time, it tends to be more like a sunburn type reaction in the breast.
And would somebody with a fairer skin be more susceptible to
sunburn kind of effects?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. You know, it is variable, you know, but certainly an Irish population tend to be quite sensitive to radiation and sun exposure. So certainly women with fairer skin can be more likely to get a more brisk reaction. I suppose we do counsel women that if they're getting breast radiation, and for a number of months afterwards, to try and avoid sun exposure so that they don't get a more severe reaction, you know, from the sun as well as from radiation. But certainly, I think by nature of an Irish population, we are Irish women are more likely to have a kind of skin reaction. But in general, it tends to be something that might last for a couple of weeks after radiation, and in general will resolve within kind of 2 to 3 weeks of finishing treatment, and rarely gets anything more severe than like a sunburn.
Yeah, that's good. That's reassuring.
A lot of ladies would ask me, you know, before the radiotherapy, is there anything they can do to help prevent anything like this? But
I think we've gotten a lot better in medicine in general at preempting side effects, and I think that, you know, with our oncology colleagues in terms of preventing side effects from chemotherapy, similarly with radiation, there is a number of things that we do to kind of try and preempt any side effects. So certainly using moisturizers that are kind of perfume free. We do try, the reason I say perfume free is some of the kind of perfumed agents can actually cause more of a skin reaction. So certainly using like E45 or simple ointments to try and preempt that. And we do actually, most women do that from the start of radiation to try and keep the skin nice and moist. Yeah. Avoiding sun exposure is certainly something that's advisable as well. There's been actually a few recent studies that have looked at it's an odd one and something I don't really have an explanation for, but there has been groups that have looked at decolonizing the nose and to try and essentially look at going on prophylactic kind of antimicrobials ointments, and that's been shown to have like maybe slightly less skin reaction as well. So that's both topically on the skin but also decolonizing the nose, and you know, that's kind of an interesting one. It's not something that at the moment we counsel patients on, but certainly something that could be something that we'd look at in the future. But certainly good skin health, you know, trying to preempt anything and trying to avoid sun exposure are the main things.
Brilliant. I think that's key. It's always trying to like preempt something, isn't it, before it happens. It's more difficult when it starts. You mentioned that radiotherapy is part of a multidisciplinary approach. Is there a lot of planning involved for people prior to receiving radiotherapy, and what can they expect when they know they're coming to a radiotherapist?
So, you know, I think we're fortunate in the campus we're in, and the matter that we have a very kind of holistic multidisciplinary approach. I think the kind of cohesion for that is primarily with the nursing staff, who keep all the doctors in line and ensure that everything happens in a timely fashion. I suppose in terms of radiation, normally there will always be one visit before the start of radiation. Two visits. So the first visit is normally a consultation to meet with the doctor. We'll explain the rationale for radiation, explain the side effects. And at that visit, we would get consent to proceed with treatment. Depending on, you know, the scenario, we would always have the patient come for one mapping appointment. And what that mapping appointment is essentially to allow us design the best radiation for each individual. So everyone is different, everyone's body is different, everyone's shape, breast size is different. we want to ensure that using the most modern technology and the most modern kind of setup for patients, that we come up with the best plan for each patient. Mm-hmm. So it's individualized. In order to do that, there is a scan, which essentially is a CT scan. Mm-hmm. And normally that is the, I suppose, the longest day. Because what we're trying to do is measure everything out, ensure that we can deliver the best treatment for each person. Mm-hmm. Like avoiding things like the heart, the lungs, the esophagus, and ensuring that the area we need to treat is up. So normally it's one visit for radiation mapping, but mm-hmm. that visit can be a couple of hours just to get everything perfect. So, yeah.
It's great to know it's so individualized.
Yeah.
The other thing I've heard people say is that they get a little tattoo. Is that right, where the skin can be marked?
Yeah. So at that visit, we do normally put a little tattoo on the patient's skin. Mm. So when we say tattoo, we mean like a freckle.
Yeah, yeah.
And ultimately, the freckle is to ensure that we can set up the patient. So we want the patient in exactly the same position every day. So yeah. Ultimately, the tattoo helps us achieve that. Mm-hmm. There are newer techniques mm-hmm. that we are moving to that allow us to do tattoo-less mm-hmm. Radiation. So, and those are in kind of development. Some sites in Ireland already have that, and a lot of groups, including ourselves, will probably move to that towards the end of this year. So that kind of spares the woman having a little kind of tattoo placed on the skin. So yeah, look, everything is changing and evolving, and I think if we can make it as painless and as for the patient, then we should do that. So
absolutely. And then some people have described having radiotherapy that it's kind of like having an X-ray. In your opinion, is that kind of what you would describe it as?
Yeah, I would say it that the experience is almost identical to having an X-ray. Mm-hmm. I would say it's probably a better way of describing it is having a very particular X-ray. So you have a kind of a multidisciplinary team within radiation oncology. Mm-hmm. So we're a multidisciplinary team as well in our own little domain. Mm-hmm. So we have a doctor, we have physicists who design the radiation plan, and we have radiation therapists who deliver the mm-hmm. treatment. So normally what would happen each day for a patient is they would come in, the radiation therapist would check everything from the design scan, ultimately get the patient in exactly the position that they were in at the design scan, mm-hmm. align everything, step outside the room. They would take a number of X-rays on the machine, and then if everything looks perfect, deliver the radiation. I suppose all in all, that treatment takes about 10, 15 minutes each day, and it's almost identical to having an X-ray. I'd say probably more like having a CT scan, but you know, a much shorter CT scan. CT scans tend to be kind of longer. Yeah. But the room tends to be nice and open. The patient isn't enclosed. Mm-hmm. So if people are claustrophobic, it mm-hmm. doesn't tend to be claustrophobic in any way.
I know you said that everybody's very different and there's a lot of different types of breast cancer, but is there any kind of guidelines for the length of time somebody would receive radiotherapy for breast cancer?
Yeah, so the big, I suppose, evolution in radiation for breast cancer in the last 10 years has been that the duration of treatment isn't as long. Mm-hmm. So I would say 10 years ago, the majority of women who were getting breast cancer radiation after surgery, the treatment would have been over six and a half weeks. Mm-hmm. It is incredibly rare that women would need that long a duration of radiation now. Mm. And I suppose where that comes from is that there have been a number of trials, primarily in the UK and Canada, that have looked at doing shorter courses of radiation over kind of 15 days, I would say, in the majority of our patients, but even as short as 5 days. Mm. And there are guidelines then for what treatment course you would use for each patient. Mm. Our philosophy is if the outcomes are as good with the shorter courses of treatment, mm, and we don't think it's going to lead to a negative impact on the patient, then we'll obviously prioritize a shorter course, mm, of treatment.
Yeah.
I think our patients appreciate that. People have lives. They want to finish their treatment as soon as possible. Mm. You know, a lot of the women who are getting treatment have young families, you know, childcare to take care of. Yeah. You know, we don't want people on treatment for 6 weeks. You know, if possible, I would say the majority of patients are probably on treatment for about three weeks, mm-hmm, but shorter if clinically applicable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. And then what does the follow-up for somebody look like then when they finish their course of radiotherapy?
So I would say it is a multidisciplinary approach, mm-hmm, and I would say the cohesion tends to be with the nursing staff in the breast clinic. In general, there'll always be a skin check, you know, mm-hmm, normally about 6 to 8 weeks afterwards. I think sometimes when there is a multidisciplinary approach, there can almost be too many cooks.
Yep.
So in general, we don't have routine follow-up from a radiation perspective for our patients, because a lot of them will be coming back to see their breast surgeons afterwards. A lot of them would be coming back to see their medical oncologists for follow-up. So in general, we don't actually continue to monitor people afterwards. But if there was ever an issue or if there's ever a problem in terms of skin, we're always available. And I think our patients appreciate not having to come for kind of unnecessary appointments, you know. Mm.
Definitely.
Yeah. And are there any late effects from radiotherapy that people should be aware of?
Yeah, look, I would say the biggest concern about radiation, obviously we don't like causing any side effects, mm-hmm, you know. And certainly the short-term side effects, for the most part, tend to be manageable and fixable and would resolve. I suppose, thankfully, patients with breast cancer are living long, healthy, normal lives.
Yeah.
Mm. And I suppose the potential sequelae of radiation, again, is related to the region one treats. So, these predominantly tend to be soft tissue related, so either causing kind of thickening of the skin, or if one had breast augmentation afterwards or had a reconstruction, sometimes that can feel a little bit like it's dragging, you know. So skin fibrosis is the term, you know, that is a risk of the treatment. But in general, that could be manageable. I suppose the more rare complications, but again, potentially concerning complications of radiation, are related more to the underlying organs. Mm-hmm. So what's the impact on the lung? What's the impact on the heart? It is incredibly rare that radiation would cause any significant impact, mm-hmm, on the lung. There's a number of studies looking at potential impact of radiation on the heart. And you know, from older studies, that older techniques of radiation, certainly there could be a small additive impact of radiation in causing cardiovascular disease. I would say a lot of the techniques used in radiation are from 40 years ago, you know, and those studies are from 30, 40 years ago. Mm. It wouldn't have been as personalized a treatment as it is now. And the techniques have significantly evolved and improved. So, you know, we do quote women that the risk of cardiovascular impact, mm-hmm, or heart impact, but it's incredibly rare. And I think the benefit of radiation outweighs that risk.
Yeah.
The other incredibly rare complication from radiation is, you know, as with any treatment, or as with chemotherapy as well, there is risk of radiation causing a secondary cancer to develop, which means, you know, either in the area that the radiation has been delivered, that isn't like a breast cancer, it could be like something like a sarcoma or a lung cancer. But the risk of that is, again, incredibly rare, and something that wouldn't happen until 10, 15, 20 years after treatment. Yeah. But we counsel all our patients, particularly our younger patients, on that risk. Yeah.
And I suppose if the benefit outweighs the risk, you know.
Yeah.
If people have lymph nodes involved, are they included in the radiotherapy field then?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's very topical. I would say, in general, if a woman is having radiation after having part of her breast removed and has lymph nodes involved, in general, one would include some of the lymph nodes. Again, it's hard to kind of get, you don't want to get too technical about it, but I would say if one lymph node was removed and perhaps it was involved by tumor, in general, we do consider radiation afterwards. I suppose the debate now is, does one do further surgery to remove further lymph nodes? And I think that's somewhat up for discussion. But in general, you know, most of the time you would include the lymph node region as well as the breast if you're treating, if a lymph node is involved.
And if there's no lymph node involvement, so they remove one or two and they're negative for any disease, you leave them be.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in women who've just had part of their breast removed, you would just treat the rest of the breast. I suppose if women have had a mastectomy and an axillary clearance and one lymph node was involved, then sometimes you wouldn't treat the rest of the lymph nodes, but it kind of just depends on the scenario, you know. And again, it's a kind of quantification of risk. I suppose the worry about doing radiation after having a lymph node dissection is that there is a risk of worsening lymphedema, and that can be quite debilitating in some women. So if the benefit of radiation is somewhat tenuous, then a lot of the time it may not be, it would obviously be discussed, but may not be recommended, you know, depending on the scenario.
And we know that breast cancer is treated in different ways, so surgery, chemotherapy and radiation. What order does that typically come in?
So I think the first thing is, like, the majority of the women with breast cancer, they're detected by screening. So I think we have fantastic kind of radiology colleagues who work up the patients, who do ultrasound, mammogram, biopsies. Then, depending on the risk and depending on the results of that, our surgeons tend to, a lot of the time, surgery tends to be the first port of call. If a woman were to get chemotherapy, it would be chemotherapy next, and then radiation after that. I would say one of the things that's changed slightly is there is maybe a flipping of the chemotherapy. So some women get chemotherapy first, depending on their markers, and then get surgery afterwards, followed by radiation. So, you know, we do tend to be last in line, but
save the best for last.
You know, like, I think you know, we work as a team in terms of deciding when that would be synchronized, and it's based on kind of international standards.
Very good. And a big thing that came out of our focus group actually was patients just looking for timelines of things. So if somebody was to undergo a lumpectomy, after that, roughly what timeline after that would they start their radiotherapy?
So there are kind of national KPIs, key performance indicators in this scenario, and the majority, if a woman wasn't to receive further chemotherapy, in general, she should be starting radiation within 12 weeks of surgery. If one is receiving kind of chemotherapy, then it would be after chemotherapy, and normally kind of a month or two after chemotherapy.
And is it the same for people that have a mastectomy?
I would say majority of women who have a mastectomy tend to have, you know, a lot of them would tend to have chemotherapy afterwards, and then radiation would follow mm-hmm. after chemotherapy. But I suppose the key KPI for breast radiation of 12 weeks is after just having a partial breast or part of the breast removed and not getting kind of chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And then for people who opt for the reconstruction element of it then, so they have a mastectomy and then they're planned for reconstruction, is there pros and cons of having the radiotherapy prior to the reconstruction?
There are pros and cons mm-hmm. to everything. I would say the majority of the way the field has kind of moved is that mm-hmm. the reconstruction can be done before radiation.
Yeah.
And can be safely done without a negative impact on that reconstruction afterwards or down the line. I think the challenge of doing the reconstruction after radiation is when the skin has had radiation or seen radiation before, it can be sometimes more difficult to do reconstruction because just the vascular supply can be slightly different. But I would say in general, the way the field has moved is to do reconstruction beforehand. Mm-hmm. And there's numerous studies on that show that there isn't a negative outcome for the patient in terms of their overall well-being, mm-hmm. their overall mm-hmm. body image and self-image. So mm-hmm. that tends to be our kind of approach.
Right. And the only thing I'm thinking is we've obviously discussed women in all of this. Men obviously can get a breast cancer as well. So I imagine the same things apply.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, male breast cancer is rare, but it does represent, I think, about 1% of all breast cancers. I think certainly it is the same, the same principles. So I would say the only big difference in male breast cancer is that sometimes there may be a genetic predisposition. So having kind of intense kind of family counseling, I suppose finding out for that man and his family if there is a genetic reason as to why he has developed breast cancer. I would say in men, because there isn't screening of men, breast cancer tends to be a little bit more advanced than it might be in women. But ultimately, the same principles apply: surgery, chemotherapy as required, radiation as required. But certainly, there can be a massive psychological impact on that. Yeah. Certainly, there can be a genetic question, and
Brilliant. Yeah, I think we've covered mostly. Is there anything else you think we've missed or left out?
No, well, I suppose the only thing is radiation is used for women with metastatic breast cancer as well. Mm-hmm. So if a woman were to have cancer that spread to the bone or the brain, radiation can be used in terms of treating that. Mm-hmm. There are newer techniques for treating bone mets and brain metastasis with radiation that lead to more favorable outcome and less toxicity profile. It's focused or stereotactic radiation. And that can be, you know, incredibly useful for women who obviously have when that happens, that's a massive, that's massive news for anyone to hear that the cancer has spread. But there is hope, there's newer drugs available, newer radiation techniques, and I think that's important that women and men with breast cancer know that, that it might seem like the end of the world when you get a diagnosis of the cancer spreading, but there is always hope and there's always newer treatments coming online.
That's great to hear. So and there's just one more question that came to my head. You know, people can have a recurrence of breast cancer after a number of years. Yeah. And if they've had a lumpectomy, say, and radiation, can they get radiation again if they have a recurrence of breast cancer?
Yeah, again, it would be something that we'd discuss in a multidisciplinary meeting. I suppose the first question is it something that can be operated on?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it can, that's the first port of call.
Mm-hmm.
Depending then on the prior radiation, the time from the prior radiation,
mm-hmm.
one may offer radiation mm-hmm. a second time in the same area. So it is possible. It just depends on the
circumstances.
I'd say the longer someone is away from radiation, the more likely one can do further radiation in the future. So, mm-hmm. But certainly, yeah, it is feasible.
Brilliant. That's brilliant. Thank you so much, Dr. Cagney, for coming on. We really appreciate it. I think you've explained that really well. And myself and Anne-Marie are lucky enough to have looked after a lot of your patients in the past, and they're lucky to have you. So thank you.
Not at all. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Answers for Cancers podcast. Please share this podcast with anybody who you think it might help. Also, if you can like and subscribe, it lets people know we're here. You can alternatively contact us on Instagram at theanswersforcancers_podcast. And if you have any questions on anything that we discussed today, please email us at theanswersforcancerspodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM us on Instagram.